The ongoing refugee crisis has led to a range of reactions around the world. It is also inspiring music.
Find the kind heart, rest your feet and soul.
That's Land of Gold from a new album by sitar artist Anushka Shankar. For her past work, Shankar has gotten 5 Grammy nominations, and as a teenager, she was already touring with her father, the late Ravi Shankar. Anushka Shankar joins us now from London. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
So on your album, it says that this is your response to the humanitarian trauma of displaced people feeling conflict and poverty. What made you want to make an album about that? Was there something specific or something that you saw?
I suppose it was just my emotional reaction to what I was seeing. I didn't sign up to make an album and at that point decide I was going to make this album. And that's usually the case for me. I start looking around at my life and life around me once I'm already making an album. But in this particular scenario, that was last summer. And, you know, I couldn't help but be involved in seeing what was going on in the world and watching, you know, millions of people being displaced and watching refugees coming to Europe. It was heartbreaking and it was overwhelming. And immediately what started happening is that I started pouring out at least my feelings and my response to that in the music I was making.
And of course, things haven't changed much in the last year. They're still coming.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get to some of the music. This is called Boat to Nowhere. Tell me about this piece.
On this one, I was trying to sort of capture a feeling of what it must be like setting off on a journey and having no idea what's coming. And so there was a kind of mix of emotions. There was some trepidation, there was some fear, there was also a little bit of hope. And from there, it was kind of about just setting the mood to begin the journey. It's the first track on the album. So it goes to many darker places through the journey of the album, but it sort of starts in this sort of unknowing.
Do you want to have this album affect policy in Europe or where you are in the UK, get them to accept more of these people?
I don't really have an illusion that my album can affect policy per se, but I do believe that when we as citizens use opportunities to talk about issues, then that can make a difference. I do hope we accept more people. I was particularly disappointed this week when my British government here voted against allowing in 3,000 minors, unaccompanied minors. Those are the kind of things I try and be vocal about just as a citizen, you know, just whether that's the online petitions or talking to people or marching when I need to. As far as a musician goes, it's less of a direct impact, of course, but I do think on an emotional or a spiritual level or even just on getting people to talk about it, it can make a difference.
Well, why do you think that those kinds of votes are happening so frequently, not just where you are, but all over the world? Why do you think that there's such an anti-immigrant sentiment and an unwillingness to help these people fleeing conflict zones?
I like that you put that in a global context because that's certainly not native to where I'm sitting right now. It's happening where you're sitting and
yeah.
It's happening in many other places. But, you know, I can't pretend to be an expert. I'm not a policy expert. I'm not a politician. But what I see when I travel and when I meet people is there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of scared people and there's a lot of poverty. There are a lot of problems. And when people are scared, it's really hard to think in a communal way. One becomes protective by nature when there's not enough of something. One starts to look out for one's own. And it's very difficult to reach a hand out when one feels like one doesn't have enough themselves.
In terms of your own journey, you grew up in London, then Delhi, then around the time you were a teenager, you came to California. How did that impact the kind of music that you were interested in and maybe even this album?
It sounds a little cheesy, but I feel like what's happened for me is that I live a relatively borderless life. You know, I've always been multicultural. I've always been traveling, meeting people from various cultures. And that affects me as a person and my music as well. You know, I look to forge connections. I know that they're there. And I think that has a lot of importance in the world today.
Well, let's listen to another piece from your album with a surprising sound. This is Jump In, Cross the Line, featuring the rapper M.I.A. Sip up my jacket, put my phone in my pocket. Keep my mind open and trying not to lock it. I make up plans. I don't think I've ever heard sitar and rap together in quite this way. What made you want to do that?
I'm an instrumentalist, so when I have a theme and I talk about my theme, it can be clear to me, but it's very abstract once it's in an instrumental melody. And so often I work with vocalists to help highlight what I'm trying to say. In this album, in this context of what it was about, M.I.A. is an incredibly perfect person to work with. She's always been an advocate for refugees, being one herself. She's always been very vocal. And we had happened to kind of become friends separately over the last couple of years. And so it kind of slipped in a very natural way. But musically and symbolically, it couldn't have been more perfect.
It works together, yeah, the two sounds.
It was interesting on a musical level because I really had to change the way I played to fit around her vocals, really strip it down and be as minimal as I could.
Do you plan on your tour, by the way, to perform for refugees?
We're actually looking at that right now. We just toured in North America, but we're touring in Europe throughout the year, so we're trying to find a way to fit a visit in. And it's looking like it's going to happen right now, and I really want to make it happen, so fingers crossed.
I want to ask you about some of the instruments on this album, and let's listen here to another piece. This is called Crossing the Rubicon. Now, on this album, aside from the sitar and the cello and the piano, there are instruments that people may not have heard of. The shanai, the hang.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us about those.
I think it's the hang.
I'm going to take your word on it.
Okay, let's go with hang.
Hang.
Is performed by an amazing musician called Manu Delago, who was perhaps my key collaborator on this album. He co-wrote almost all the music with me and is also a member of the quartet I'm touring with. He plays drums, he plays hang. And the hang in particular is this beautiful instrument. It was only created in the 1990s in Switzerland, and it's a relatively rare instrument that sort of sits with the tonality of my instrument in a very unique way. So I've been really inspired by it in the last few years. The shanai is a beautiful reed instrument from India, and the person playing it on this album and on the tour, Sanjeev Shankar, is not a blood relation of mine, though we share a last name, but he's a student of my father's, so we go back a long way. And his instrument, again, is one that I feel very inspired by.
When you learn to play those instruments, are they similar enough to other instruments that you can kind of bounce over and play them instead? Or is it something that's the only thing that you've learned to play for your entire career?
Probably a little bit of both. Like me playing the sitar doesn't make me a good guitar player, but it might mean that it's a little bit easier to learn another string instrument than someone who doesn't play any.
Well, let me ask you about you playing the sitar, because, of course, your father, Ravi Shankar, began teaching you to play that when you were very young. How did it feel to take up the same instrument as him that he had become so famous for?
Absolutely terrifying.
And yet you did it.
And yet I did it. I think I tend to by nature sort of plow through my fears. And the thing with this instrument is I could see people's reactions right from the beginning, you know, the kind of heightened interest and the pressure. I knew there would be comparisons and all of that. But at the same time, I genuinely loved the music and I increasingly loved the instrument. So I think where I was coming from was that I wasn't going to deny myself something I loved just because it was going to be challenging.
What do you think your dad would think of what you're doing with this album?
The last album that he was alive for that I made was Traveler, which was an exploration of flamenco music and Indian music. And it was the kind of, you know, non-classical album that I wasn't sure he would like. But what I did realize with that album was that he was really proud of my experiments and what I was trying to do and the cultures I was trying to bring together in my music. And I think he also felt very confident that I had the classical music, and therefore I had his full blessing in being as experimental as I wanted.
Well, Anushka Shankar, the album is called Land of Gold. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
On the Croatian front of the crisis threatening to overwhelm this continent, even riot police proved hopelessly unable to contain the onward surge of refugees and migrants.
And this, by the way, is called Dissolving Boundaries from Anushka Shankar's new album. You're listening to Here and Now.